I'd like to tell you my story. I am not a famous man, nor did I ever wish to be. I simply had a small part to play in a happening long, long ago. I am an ordinary man. Even my name, Simeon, was one of the most common names given among a boy child in my culture, Simeon. My name means to hearken, to listen carefully. Perhaps I was rightly named, for it was in my hearkening, in my listening carefully, in my paying close attention that a small part was reserved for me in history. I was known as a righteous and just man, devout in my observance of the law, and upright in that I kept the commands of God. That my friends and neighbors knew me as righteous was not important to me, other than, of course, the fact that it meant that there was evidence that I reverenced God. To be known as righteous, to be thought of as righteous, is unfair and untrue of any mortal man. There was only ever one who was truly righteous, and it is he who is the central figure of the story which I now relate to you. Israel was waiting and longing for the Messiah, God's anointed one, the promised Savior. Unfortunately, it always seemed as though the times of most intense longing coincided with the times when we, the people of Israel, had sinned against God and invoked his wrath against us. Israel wanted a Messiah to come and solve our problems. But Israel had deserted God and worshiped not only the true and living God, but many other gods as well. And throughout history, it was this attempt to place God in the same category as other gods that most angered God. God's covenant with Israel was based firstly upon worshiping God alone. Anything less, anything else, was totally unacceptable to God. And so Israel waited and prayed for the coming of the Messiah, waited and prayed for the comfort and the solace that his coming would bring. I too waited and prayed, but while others waited in desperation, I waited in expectation. Expectation of the fulfillment of God's promise to me. For my knowledge was grounded in personal experience. The Holy Spirit had revealed to me that sometime before I die, I would see the Messiah, God's anointed Son, the Lord's Christ. This this being revealed to me, I had no reason to doubt its validity. You see, it was not unusual for the Holy Spirit to be with men and women of my generation. The pity was that the Holy Spirit seemed to be an infrequent visitor rather than an ongoing inhabitant. So I awoke and lived each day with a special feeling of anticipation. Now, God had not revealed to me when the Messiah would come, nor was there any reason he should do so. Mine was simply to hearken, to pay attention, to wait, and to watch. One particular day, as I entered the temple, I paused for a moment to talk with a dear friend, Anna. Now, while I was ordinary and common, Anna was not. Anna was special. Anna was a prophetess. It should be noted that Israel had had no prophets for hundreds of years. So the fact that Anna was a prophetess was very significant. Anna was very old in years and very respected for her devotion to God. Anna worshiped continuously in the temple. And as she worshiped, she served. This prophetess of God, serving God as a menial servant. And Anna fasted. But not as others fasted. Her fasting was not public, but private. And her prayers were as those of a childlike devotion, an open heart conversation with God. Anna shared my conviction, my expectation of the soon coming Messiah. And so before we parted, we paused for a brief moment of prayer and thanked God for his soon coming Messiah. Then we went about to attend to our duties in the temple. As I began to walk away, my eyes fell upon a young couple with a baby in their arms. And there was something. There was something special about them. Not visibly special. In fact, they looked rather poor and lowly. Likely Nazarenes, I thought, by the style of their clothing. As I moved closer, I could see that they were very young. The girl in her teens, the boy not yet 20, I surmised. As they observed the custom of the law, an offering on behalf of the child, I realized what a hardship that offering would be for their young lives. As I moved closer, I moved the swaddling to look into the child's face. And I beheld him. My eyes beheld him. and I knew that it was he. And I took the child in my arms and I worshiped. Blessed be thou, O Lord. Blessed be thou, O Lord, for my eyes have seen your salvation. The Messiah is truly with us as you promised to me. Should it be your will, I am now content to die, for my eyes have seen your salvation. He is our salvation. He is the one who has been sent ahead to make the way passable for all. His salvation will be available to all, to the Israelite and to the Gentile. For a brief moment, I looked up into his young mother's eyes. And in that instant, I could see the sorrows and trials that lie ahead, not only for the babe, but for his young mother as well. And yet as I looked back into the perfect face of the child, I rejoiced. And I called Anna. Come see the Messiah. He is here. And Anna came. And as she saw the child, she too bowed and worshiped. And then she began to tell everyone in the temple, listen, listen to me. You who have waited for the Savior, wait no more. He is here. The Messiah is here. He has finally arrived. Oh, come. Let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord.